You are listening to an SAFM podcast, 104 to 107 nationwide. Stream us live on www.safm.co.za or via the SABC Plus app. SABC News, independent and impartial.
Yeah, certainly not to me, Sakina. And remember when you and I had the discussion, the point during our discussion that I was trying to emphasize is that while everybody is focused on the unbelievable, grotesque scenes in Gaza and on the broader Palestine at the hands of Israel, and of course the events which purportedly triggered it, I say purportedly not because I'm undermining what happened on the 7th of October, but there's a history prior to the 7th of October. But let's stick to Iran. All I wanted to add to that excellent, poignant introduction by you, it was always about a broader conflict. And for America, as much as for Israel, and I emphasize, for America, Iran was the bogey country. They have a long dispute with Iran, seeing Iran as the real spoiler, the real destabilizer of the region. And just to link it directly to what's going on in Palestine, that Iran is seen as the sponsor of all these anti-Israeli forces.
But I was listening to, you know, last night had an opportunity to watch some of the developments in the United Nations and listening to both what Israel had to say and what Iran had to say. And listening to Israel, firstly, it would sound as though this attack from Iran came out of nowhere. And listening to Iran, they were like, we are simply retaliating. But, you know, you sit there and you wonder, are we all living in the same universe?
You know, again, very important point by you. When I listened in particular to the British ambassador's reaction that was played in the clip in your introduction, it's astonishing that it's almost as if the events of the 1st of April with Israel, without having admitted to it right now, you know, of course, they have a doctrine called strategic ambiguity. We neither deny nor confirm when it suits us, and in particular on nuclear weapons. But what is interesting about the point that you're making, Sakina, is that there were states calling for an emergency UN meeting to condemn Israel's attack on the Iranian consulate in Syria. Now, just a bit of sort of scholarship. The Vienna Convention teaches you, if you attack any country's embassy or diplomatic mission in any other country, you have violated that country's sovereignty. What is interesting, though, Iran has been using for the whole weekend the phrase our right to defend ourselves. And where do they learn that from? Israel bombarded us with that rhetoric post 7 October. And there was the tit for tat, as you say. But to come to the key point just very briefly, so that we move on to other issues. America, France, and Britain in particular, and remember, these are three veto-holding members of the Security Council. They wouldn't allow that UN meeting to take place. They still, they yet to break their silence on Israel's attack on the Iranian consulate. And yet, look how quickly they agreed to an emergency meeting and go after Iran.
And so we have today, as we speak, Israel's war cabinet. They expected to meet later this afternoon with regard to a response, and this amid world leaders urging restraint. And fears, of course, growing, Dr. Landsberg, about a wider war in the Middle East as these tensions escalate. But as you said, it's not new. The tensions between Israel and Iran have been on a high for decades. But then you have the White House, and they've warned Israel that the U.S. will not necessarily participate in any retaliatory strikes on Iran. And they've also urged Israel to consider its response carefully and strategically. So what do you make of that statement?
Let me tell you what is absolutely apropos about what you've just said. I'm actually doing some, just for want of a better phrase, some discourse analysis on President Biden's rhetoric, the language he used versus the actions, right? So the same President Biden who for 5 weeks didn't speak to President Netanyahu after the killing of the 100 or so Palestinians who ran after food aid, which then culminated in a real blow up and expression of anger by him when the three aid convoys, or the convoy of aid cars were attacked, said to Israel there was a red line. And it's the same man who, in response to Iran being attacked and Iran reserved the same right to retaliate and defend itself, have left us this week mesmerized with a concept that everybody is now talking about. Our defense for Israel is, and I quote, ironclad, ironclad, ironclad. We will not let Israel down, certainly not when it comes to Iran. But the point you made, they also said they won't get directly involved. And that's the operative word, directly involved. So let me make a prediction for you what's about to happen. That war cabinet, particularly the right-wing members of that war cabinet, as you and I spoke last time, 2 weeks ago or so, I think they actually want to go after Iranian facilities, in particular nuclear facilities, with precision bombs that they got from America. And America is going to pretend that they didn't know about it, but America will give them the go-ahead. At the very least, Sakina, I'm suggesting to you, in the next week or 10 days, Israel is going to go, is going to launch full-on attacks on the other Palestinian militant groups, particularly Hezbollah, and of course the Houthis in Yemen. So this war is going to continue, and America talks aid, but America supplies weapons, and they said they're not going to stop Israel from, as you put it, a strategic assault on Iran, not a direct attack within the middle of Tehran.
And as we wrap this up, the cabinet minister there in Israel, Benny Gantz, he said that they will exact a price, as you say. But then, obviously, depending on who they strike against, there will be a response.
There will be a response. And Sakina, that point allows me to end our conversation with just two, and I hope I can be brief about it, two very key points, at least from my point of view. The political elites in the two countries seem to have two things in common, fascinatingly. The Iranian leadership, very unpopular amongst its populace, as we've seen with the recent election and how many people actually came up, but at least they've been elected. Benjamin Netanyahu was in a corner until Saturday night, Sunday morning. What has Israel just done with Joe Biden? They have deflected attention from Gaza. They have certainly now placed all the emphasis on Iran, And Joe Biden wants to get out of this thing. Benjamin Netanyahu just seems to find a way to outfox him all the time. But there will be a response from Israel. I have absolutely no doubt about that.
Professor Landsberg, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for your time. As always, Professor Chris Landsberg, Director of the Center for African Diplomacy and Leadership at the University of Johannesburg. And just incidentally, Minister of International Relations and Cooperation, Minister Naledi Pandor, now she's also called for restraints from all sides and said that the core focus must be on the freedom and justice of the people of Palestine. And this, of course, is the message. And it remains to be seen how all of this is going to unfold. But world leaders in general saying we need to de-escalate.
You can find SAFM Current Affairs on 104 to 107 nationwide. Our podcasts are available for download on all our digital platforms. SAFM, leading the conversation.